Welcome to the Gathering for Financial Consciousness, Global Virtual Series Number 4. I am your host, Dr. Dana Williams, and with this series, I sincerely hope that these interviews will help you to gain financial freedom. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome you to today's interview. And with me today, I have Laura Mendelson. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm doing just fabulously. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. And for those of you of our listening audience that may not be familiar with Laura, I wanted to just give you just a little snippet of who she is and what she's been up to. And so Laura was born to work with spirit. She began spontaneously channeling St. Ignatius Loyola over 30 years ago, and later discovered that this was the same master guide that the famed healer John of God was channeling. And yet she avoided this calling until forced from millionaire to medium. Now Laura is featured as a top 100 psychic in America, as a Voices Beyond the Veil research medium, and also the author of Soul Psychic Healing Master Certification Program, and she's also a host of her own radio show. So welcome, Laura, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. Just to support what Dana just said, I'm going to add a little bit more in, which is that I actually was born in a family that was metaphysic. My mother was a professional psychic, as was my sister. And not that that's the only thing that they did. They did other things, but they were professional also in those areas. And my mother actually did two readings for Janet Jackson, believe it or not, which I always think kind of interesting.
Right.
And my mother loved astrology. She was an astrologer, and that's what she did for Janet Jackson. And one day she said to me, "Laura, your native astrological chart has all planets in the house of the occult." And I was like, huh, what does that mean? I paid no attention to any of that whatsoever. I thought my mother was cute, but a little eccentric.
Right. In other words, she was a regular mother, right?
She was a mother, you know, but all this woo-woo stuff, I had no interest in whatsoever. She was into astrology, so she would tell me about my chart. And I thought, what does that mean? All my planets are in the eighth house, the house of the occult. What does that mean? I was working in the business world. I wanted nothing to do with that. She also told me that my numerological life path number was, she used to be so proud of this, was an 1122, which is a master number. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? I could have cared less.
Right.
Instead, I focused on money. And, you know, I had all these little kind of, shall we say, telltale signs that there was more up about me than mastering money and mastering manifesting that which I wanted. For example, I saw spirit as a child, you know, and it was very frightening to me, and I would scream and cry. It was like around 4 years old, and finally I would say, please stop, and it stopped. And I had, you know, just being the daughter of a highly intuitive, artistic mother, creative mother and father. My father and mother were both artists. I had my normal little intuitions, if you will, or at least I thought they were.
Right.
Except at 30 years old, when I began channeling spontaneously as per the directive of a psychic reader I'd gone to. He said, your guides are trying to come through. And I was like, what does that mean? Because I never spoke to my mother about this stuff, as I mentioned. I wanted to be successful in a traditional, classic, material way. I didn't want to develop this aspect of myself. So the reader said, just ask for them to come through. And by the way, everybody listening, asking is extremely important when you're working with spirits. You know, asking ye shall receive. I'm going to weave that theme in here as we talk today. And that was when I began channeling. Literally, my head was thrown back, and this voice started booming out of me. And I was scared. it was a little frightening. I didn't know what was going on. I thought perhaps I'd lost my mind. But then I started to do a lot of research. And I obtained the name Loyola or Ola for my guide. And then I found some Book of the Saints and it said St. Ignatius Loyola. And I asked my guide, is that who you are? And it said yes. And it wasn't until maybe last year, about 6 months ago, I found out that, I don't know if all of you know, some people don't know this, but John of God is a famed healer of Brazil, so please forgive me if you are familiar with that. I found out that's his master guide as well. That mm-hmm. was around the time, yeah, that was around the time I started to do clairvoyant healing, particularly on a soul level for clients to help them resolve blockages to abundance and success. And as I started to take that aspect of my spiritual communications more seriously, I just stumbled upon this. And I was like, whoa, isn't that an interesting coincidence?
I mean, that is interesting. I mean, I saw John of God in action a couple of years ago when he was in Atlanta doing mm-hmm. his session work. And so, I mean, that was very interesting to see him in action. And
I would assume so.
Yeah. And I mean, huge crowds, a lot of energy. So that was very interesting.
Yeah, I've never, and ironically enough, I have never been to John of God. I've never seen him. I do respect him. And I always thought to myself, oh, yeah, he's working with guides. He's working with spirit very similarly to what I was doing in the closet. I wasn't letting anybody know I was doing this because I was in the corporate world.
Right.
But I always had a feeling that he was great, but never thought that anything I was doing was that related to his work. I have high esteem for him. And even to this day, I am constantly amazed at the reality of this intangible world, the spirit world. And one might say, shame on Laura, because I am probably the most skeptical, cynical, non-believing person out there. And yet, every day, I know, it's funny, right? Every day.
The family you're born into. I mean, if there's anyone this should be normal for, it should be you.
Right. Well, that's why I guess I have that little feeling, because on the other side of the family, my father was always, acting as the skeptic, and I aligned with him as my parental figure. So I always wanted to be very, smart and intelligent and analytical and blah, blah, blah. So I kind of bring a unique footprint to the work in that I've developed my cognitive intellectual aspects of self, but it's blended with a highly I don't know what you want to call it, footprint. I'll use that word footprint again, a highly developed footprint of intuitive psychic abilities. So when I'm working with someone and everything that comes out of my mouth is correct. And it's not me speaking, it's spirit speaking. I've learned how to step out of the way. I have to say something is going on. Something is going on. There is a spirit world, everyone out there, and there's a lot of synchronicities and too much evidence as they continue to work to say there isn't. So how do you, everyone, take advantage of that? Take off the blinders and, take off the Laura blinders and start to see who you are inside and align with that, because your true abundance, your most potent, powerful manifesting aspect of self is going to come from something bigger than your personality or your ego. As I say ego, I don't mean, feeling good about yourself. I mean the part of you that is personality, is the human aspect of you. Like everybody listening, to think about this. Do you have anything in your lives right now that you're trying to attain? And the more you go about efforts to bring this thing in, the more you go about trying to bring this thing in, and that could be the best manifesting work out there. It could be, Abraham Hicks work or angel manifesting or law of attraction galore, creative visualization, psycho-cybernetics, whatever it is, this is nothing new. Whatever you're using, have you found that it works sometimes, but not all of the time?
But
yeah,
not only that, the harder you try, the more effort you put in, the least amount it works, the worse it gets. It doesn't work at all.
Exactly. It's like a quicksand. You know, the more you struggle to get out of it, the deeper you go into it. So we're going to learn a few things. Hopefully we're going to learn a few things today. I'm going to reveal a couple of things today that I learned, and maybe they'll work for you. So the whole idea, before I go into it, is that when we align with our larger self, our authentic self, our infinite self, our soul, our spiritual self, then we align with the omnipotence of the superconscious mind of God, or divinity, or higher power, whatever your terminology is. And so can you think of it this way? You as a human, you have limited abilities. For example, your eyes are on the front of your head. Okay? Imagine if you could see 360. Okay? Some people who have had near-death experiences claim that that's exactly what happens when you're out of your body. You suddenly have a 360 perspective. So that's just one little teeny example of power. So when we learn how to let go and let God, okay, we will open to something much more powerful than our individual efforts or individuated efforts. That's what I was trying to say. But much more than just ourselves, a higher part of us. And that higher part is very, very potent. And then with that higher self-alignment, we are vibrationally at a higher frequency. And at that higher frequency, some call that ascension, by the way, if you're wondering why people are bantering that term about ascension, it's all about this. We will embrace what I like to call our God flow. And in this particular instance, I will use God as guidance, opportunities, and destiny.
Yeah, I like that. Okay?
Yeah. You know, there was, you probably know about him, Dana, Dr. Joseph Campbell, the famed mythologist. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, and he wrote a number of books, but as a mythologist, he was always getting into this sort of, I guess, superconscious stuff, archetypes and all of this stuff. But he had a quote, and that is, when you align with your bliss, doors will open for you. People will appear, opportunities will present that will lead you forward. It's like you trapped into an energy that was there all along, okay? But you didn't know it was there because you were too busy running around trying to do it all yourself.
Right, exactly.
Right? So anyway, I'm going to go to a little bit more formal outline now because all that was just coming off the top of my head. I don't want to digress too much. But if you do learn how to align with this higher power, prosperity will be automatic for you. And as I just mentioned, Joseph Campbell, who's now in the spirit world, he's the famed author of The Power of Myth. That's the book I was trying to come up with, stated, follow your bliss, and the universe will open doors for you where there were only walls. As you learn how to align with this higher power, your self-esteem, confidence, even self-acceptance will improve. You will become more charismatic. You know, one of the secrets of attracting others to you is by being authentic. And one of the cornerstones of authenticity is charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, another way around, to say it a different way, if one wants charisma, the cornerstone is authenticity, being yourself. More talent, creativity, and genius will be expressed. You will be able to heal relationships better with others. If I have time, I'll embed a story about that. And even your body, you know, your body and its weight will suddenly normalize or equalize.
That's key. That would be a big point.
It's so true. But, you know, when we're out of alignment with self, when we're out of whack, okay, we are going to have everything expressed that way. So when we get back into alignment, then we find that we're eating the foods that are for our highest good. We become more attuned to our intuition, and we eat intuitively. We do the right things versus the compulsive, addictive things. You know, everybody listening, if you think about it, most addictive behaviors, and I don't mean rolling in the gutter with a bottle of booze. I mean, addiction presents at so many levels in our day-to-day life, shopaholics, sexaholics, eat-holics, money-holics, workaholics, you name it. What's it all about?
Right.
Right? What's it all about?
Balance. Mm-hmm.
It's all about not feeling good in your own skin. So soul alignment, soul abundance, which is what I'm talking about today, is all about saying yes to yourself and feeling good in your own skin. So we're going to go into some actual steps about this. And this material came to me through my own experiences. And I'll give you a little bit more of a story in a moment or two. Some of it was channeled literally, because I do channeling. That was my first thing that opened up over 30 years ago. And now I'm a medium. I talk to those who transition to the world of spirit. I talk to your guides. Some call them angels. I call them divine beings. And I work with energy as well as a soul healer. But then I sort of find after I was introduced to these concepts through channeling and through my life experience, that this material is very much validated in other people's work. I've already mentioned Joseph Campbell, but Buddhism is a very, very good example of this. Buddhist teachings state that when we live in the now, in the moment, when we stop resisting the self, there's so many ways you could say this, but when we simply surrender to our being, we are led. Our purpose presents. And there's a lot more I could say about that, and there's so many other people I could quote. Byron Katie, her work is called that. Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God. Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, An Awakening to Your Life Purpose. Kabbalah, other spiritual teachings all say aspects of this. I'm bringing it together in what I call a love formula. Mm-hmm. L-O-V-E. So love. And I also didn't mention my own story before I go into what love means, and there's some exercises to go with that. I just want to mention that in my experience, I mentioned it being backed up through these other people's teachings, but in my own destiny, I strove to become a millionaire. I mentioned mm-hmm. that before. And I did. I became a millionaire. Let me tell you something. It was not easy. Okay? Mm-hmm. I hurt myself a lot in the process, and by the time I finally crawled up on that rocky little shore called Millionaire, I was like a mess.
Exactly.
What kind of abundance is that, everybody? You know, if you have some money, but inside you're empty, you know? But that's how I approach things. I approach things like goals and timelines, and isn't that what business and school teaches you to do?
Exactly, you know? Right.
Right. So I was an empty millionaire, and we can only attract that which we are. So if you're empty inside, you'll be empty outside. And so my millionaire status started to change. And it changed so much that I was forced to reinvent myself and go back to work. Not that it was a bad thing, but you know, that's the good thing. What happened was I didn't know what to do. I had gotten to a point where I thought I would be homeless. I hadn't worked in a real job. I'd been living off the fat of the money for about 12 years, and then I'd lost most of it. I lost most of it in that last slip slide into to hell. Can I say hell?
Of course.
That happened 2007 to 2008, when we had the terrible landslide of prosperity, you know, in the stock market and the real estate market. And I was on the sleigh ride. So there I was. This is not coincidental, and I had to reinvent. And the only thing I could think of after locking myself in a closet in my home, because I was so I was so despondent and so lost. I just didn't know what I would do. So maybe some of you have done this. I went into my closet and shut the door and sat there and cried. And I didn't know why I was doing it, but now I know, because I was so very lost that I thought if I shut the door to my closet, that I could shut the world out. And that what was my reality wouldn't be so. But while I was in that closet and crying, I realized, nothing had changed.
Right.
Nothing had changed. So I opened the door of the closet, and that step outside of the closet was a step into a new life. And the only thing I could think of was awakening my gifts, using them in service to others. This is a principle of prosperity. And this is being recorded, so you don't have to write it down or anything. But the cornerstone of my shift came from the following affirmation. I am using my natural gifts and talents in lucrative and productive service to others. This is a miracle statement.
Mm-hmm.
If you use it, your soul will align with your guides and help you fulfill your soul's plan for this lifetime. Each of you has come in with a specific plan of service. And when you finally ask to use it or state you're going to use it in your affirmation, then all the energy that was there to support you in fulfilling this plan comes in at that point.
Can you repeat that miracle statement again?
Absolutely. I am using my natural gift and talents in lucrative and productive service to others. You are, all of you, on earth with a purpose. And when you finally say yes to your purpose, all the powers that be rush in to help you.
Now, do you know what your purpose is, or does the statement help bring in the purpose and clarify it for you?
Absolutely does that, yes. It will bring it in for you if you don't
okay.
know what it is. Yeah. So you could all, because I wasn't so clear, I had an idea to use my psychic gifts, but I wasn't sure how it would work or what I would do. But, yes, you can, if you want, you can back it up a little bit. No, that's enough to say that, and you will start to be led what that is. And we are going to today discover what our purpose is, each of us. We're also going to do a little clearing work on our biggest block to that purpose.
Okay.
But that statement is very, very useful. And I find that when I'm having a low in my own prosperity and go back to that statement, everything shifts. Because my personal weakness is I have a tendency to go for the money, go for the easy way. Well, I guess we all do, right? Go for the easy way instead of the soul's way. And when so it's like a constant, never-ending re-clarifying and re-clearing of self that puts one in a constant state of God flow. But the natural tendency as a human on earth is for us to forget our divine sense of self and to live as an ego in a selfish way. And so we always have to be aware of that and vigilant. So what I'd like you all to do, I think we're ready to do some exercises. But actually, before I go into that, I just want to say one other thing, a couple of quotes to back me up, and also there's a book, Russell Simmons, who is a famed music producer, wrote the book Super Rich a number of years ago, maybe mm-hmm. 5-10 years ago. And in that book he says, you know, basically do what you love to do and the money will follow. He actually says give, give, give. In order to get, you have to give. And giving from your talents, from what you love. You know, that's how he got started in the music producing business. He did a lot of work for nothing to begin with. Mm-hmm. Did I do a lot of work for nothing? Yeah, I did a lot of work for nothing. Or I did a lot of work that I was going to get a name for an email list. Or, you know, we had to market ourselves and all that. Okay, is there anything else I want to say before I go into? Just give me a moment here. All right, we're going to go now into, well, there's something. So what we want to do is all of us want to understand that energy is everything. And so all of this is really working on our energy. Everything I'm going to talk about today and aligning with your soul's purpose is shifting your energy. You're shifting it from an astral level to a higher level, higher vibrational frequency, which is miraculous. It's more omnipotent. There are levels of it, obviously, but when we move ourselves to higher frequency, more is possible. More is possible. I love this little quote by Albert Einstein. Concerning matter, we have all been wrong. What we have called matter is energy, whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. Interesting. Of course, we all know that, right?
Yeah, now we can measure it, but we didn't know that back then.
We didn't know back then, no. All right, so I'm going to give you a little story about how tangible this is, because it sounds nice. Now that Einstein said so, it sounds even better, right? But I had a friend who had this thing called a GDV scanner, used by Russian scientists, developed and used by Russian scientists, to invest millions in promoting and developing athletes for the Olympics. And what it does is it actually takes a picture of your aura and your chakras. My friend spent $20,000 on one of these things. I guess they had the money. And they put me in front of it. And it was interesting because it showed a huge crack in my aura around my throat area. And that day I'd forgotten to do my meditation anyway, and I had rushed to see them. And then 2 days later, I got a terrible infection in my throat. I had an upper respiratory, so it showed it, you know, showed it right there. So energy is very tangible, although we don't see it in our day-to-day visioning. It can be picked up by new equipment. You know, the more advanced we get, the more we realize things we didn't think existed do. So when we meditate, and we're going to do some meditation kind of things now, we will be shifting our energy, our frequencies, and we will be raising our vibration. So we're going to use what I call the love steps. And I've written a book on this called Manifesting Magic, The Soul Abundance Law of Attraction Secret, and that book, an ebook version of it, is included in the bonus that can be bought through Dana. I have a bonus offering for you, which is this course that I'm going to give you an intro to in detail, and is also the book is also in there, and a number of other things. You could check that out later on. But love stands for something, not only, you know, our connection to the universe. Or the thing that connects everything, but also steps. So the first letter of the word love stands in this particular methodology to let go and let God. When we let go and we let God, we learn to be so we can see. And see what? Well, we're going to open then to our true self, open to what we love, open to our authentic feelings, open to our purpose, and open to our dharma. You see, if you're running around resisting things, if you're living in fear and resisting, you're not going to be able to get clear on who you are. You'll be too wrapped up in trying to make things right, and you won't know. So we have a step to let go. We're going to do that today. We have a step to open to our true self. We're going to do that today. I better get moving here because we've already used 30 minutes up. Then we will vibrate at a higher frequency, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll also have, for the E of the word love, we will embrace our God flow, and we will have a little discussion on that.
Okay,
so moving into this. One of the aspects of letting go is the spiritual law of non-resistance. Have you heard of that law, Dana?
Yes.
Yeah. And everybody listening, you know, even though you may do all the steps in this program, you still may end up finding yourself going back into a mode of trying to resist. So it's a vigilance. You have to be vigilant with letting go. And that's usually, for me, I do it with prayer. And being grateful. Eckhart Tolle in A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, says acknowledging the good you already have in your life is the foundation for all abundance. Okay, still trying to get to my exercises. Okay, so what I'd like you all to do is, if it's not too much work, try to find a pad to write on and a writing instrument, a pen or something. I'm going to just jot down some very minor things, but you might need to write it down. So we are going to now look at, believe it or not, you all are very psychic. Everybody out there. We're all psychic and we're all connected. And I have proof of that. If you weren't connected, you would not be able to have a dream and an aspect, some of the archetypes of symbolism in dreams. And even though you may not dream a lot and you may say to me, oh, I don't remember my dreams, at some point in your life you have dreamt and you have access to collective unconscious. So what I'm about to do is welcome you to the collective unconscious using what I call soul resistance energy archetypes. These are your blocks. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do before I do it so that it's so that you can follow along easier. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be reading off the numbers 1 through 7. I'm going to ask you to write down the number that jumps out at you. I'm going to say that one more time. I'm going to read off the numbers 1 through 7, and I want you to write down the number that jumps out at you. And one of the classic problems that people sometimes encounter when they do this exercise, they try to think about it. So it's got to jump out at you. This is an intuitive exercise, not a thinking exercise. Okay? So you're going to write that down, and it will mean something. And then there will be an affirmation, which will be clearing afterwards, that will go with your number. And that affirmation will clear the block. And there are deeper ways to do this kind of clearing. I have a whole soul healing program that goes into this in great detail. Okay. So to get in that dreamy, intuitive state, I need you all to sit back in your respective chairs or however you're relaxing now, if you're lying back. Uncross your arms and legs. Start to focus on breathing from your abdominal area, allowing yourself to deeply and gently breathe in and exhale. Just relaxing, getting into a carefree, careless daydream state. In a moment, I'm going to read off all those numbers from 1 through 7. And one of those numbers is going to just jump out at you. So listen up. I'm about to begin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Write down the number now that jumps out at you. Good. The first number is the correct number. Any other numbers, disregard. Good. Now, each of these numbers stands for something. It stands for a block. Right? So I'm about to read off the blocks associated with the numbers, and then we'll do a little clearing. So the number one would stand for your block to connecting to God. Maybe you don't believe in God. Maybe you don't even believe in a higher power. Or maybe it's just really hard for you to connect or feel connected to God. So write that down if that's your block. Number two, if you chose two, it's intuition or psychic ability. You just feel blind as a bat walking through life. So you're blocked in using your intuitive gift. Number three, expression. If you chose three, you're having a block in expressing your truth, yourself, your authenticity. Number four is love. You have systemic issues surrounding feeling love, being loved, getting love, anything to do with love. Number five, self-esteem and power. Power. Number six, creativity. And number seven, money or resources. So if you are very astute, and most of you are, you probably already figured out that each of those numbers kind of goes with a chakra. This is seven basic chakras. And they are archetypes. There's so many things that are archetypes, we never thought of them that way. So for your particular block, I'm going to read off an affirmation for you. And then I'm going to allow you to simply say it to yourself three times when I'm done reading off what it means. In other words, I'm going to give you what the definition is, what the affirmation is, and then I'm going to ask you for a little blank time there to just do your affirmation. So the affirmation, and every affirmation always starts with I am. Okay, and I am, just as a review for you, all is meaning that you are part of the all that is. You're stating with that I am statement that you're part of God or the divine. You're powerful. You are part of that. I am. So if you chose one as your number, the I am statement is I am source. If you chose two, the I am statement is I am intuition. If you chose three, the I am statement is I am expression. If you chose four, the statement is I am love. If you chose five, the I am statement is I am powerful. If you chose six, the I am statement is I am creative. And if you chose seven, the I am statement is I am abundant. Okay? So now I'd like you to just close your eyes, remaining in your open body position and remaining relaxed. I'd like you to just simply think of that and say that to yourself three times, I am, and your particular statement. I'm going to do mine while you do yours, and I'm going to tell you a little story about that. I'll be right back. Good. So today I was doing this before I got to this show, and I did the exercise. I haven't done it in a while, and all of a sudden five popped out at me, and I realized, oh, so power is my issue. Five is the solar plexus, and so I have, obviously I have some issues with that. So my I am statement needs to be I am powerful. So if, you know, you can do this at different times in your life, and you would get different statements. And if we had the time today, which we do not, there is a more detailed clearing that I use in a soul healing session with clients, and there's also clairvoyant insight that goes with that. I would look into your particular chakra, your root. I do all of them with you. I would see the blocks. You would confirm the blocks. They're coming from your guides or angels. They're coming from your spiritual resources, and myself as the clairvoyant is relaying them to you. So we're going to a deep soul level. As we state them and you understand them, they are released. So it's cathartic, extremely cathartic. Some really deep stuff will be released, and then we would heal through an energy exercise and an affirmation. So just to let you know that we're only touching the tip of the iceberg with this.
And so this soul healing session that you're talking about, is that one of the bonuses that you have included in your package?
Well, that is if you have a private session with me, because it has to be done with Spirit and you and me in a live session. But the actual Soul Abundance course is detail on what we're doing now, a lot more detail. There are other clearing exercises in it, but not that, because that has to be done live.
Okay.
Good question, though.
Well, yeah, and I wanted to just quickly give people some information on your package A that you put together so that people can understand that, what you're going through and these you're just touching on when you're talking is actually in that Soul Abundance program that you have put together for our audience, where they have four MP3 videos of a workshop that they go through this process. And in addition to that, they have the four PDF, which is the written version of those videos that they can help to use through this program to help with their healing process. And you have the book that you were telling them about, which is the Soul Abundance Law of Attraction. Right, the Soul Abundance Law of Attraction Secret, which you go through the L-O-V-E explanation in more detail, because I was reading your book where you really go into detail of the whole let go and all that part of the love process. And in this package, you have a 30-minute video, which is an introduction of the program so people could know how to use the program. And as the added bonus, you have a 25% discount on your soul healing session, where they can get, with the 30-minute session or longer, they can get 10 added bonus minutes onto the session for a total of 40 minutes for that session. And you can take advantage of this package for $96. You get the entire Soul Abundance program at www.getfincon.com/Laura, which is L-A-U-R-A, number 4. And you can get all the videos, the PDF downloads, and her book, and the introduction video to use the program for this wonderful price of $96. And it's a lot of material, and the process is very in-depth. It's going to take you some time to go through the entire program. I was looking at this, and I was like, oh, okay, this will take a few weeks for me to really get into it and take advantage of all of it, because there's just so much material in there. But it's definitely something that you should look at, take advantage of to get this type of clearing work. And like Laura was saying, to get some individual help working on your core issue with your spirit guides through Laura to really get at the core issue.
Yeah, that package is a $241.10 value if you add up all the components in it, as she just gave you all the components. And what I'm doing today, or what I have been doing, I'm not finished, and we don't need to, because the introductory video has these exercises and more right there. Maybe we want to, I could just finish up very quickly, a very high level, just say what O stands for, V stands for, and E stands for, and then we could go to open the phone lines.
Okay.
What do you think, Dana? What do you want to do?
Yeah, that'll be great.
Okay. So I was just at the L for letting go, and we just cleared our systemic soul plan block. That was what that was all about. And again, that's in the introductory video, which is part of your, if you choose or opt to buy that bonus package. Step two in the video for the introduction, and this is, by the way, the introduction is just the introduction, because step one, step two, step three, step four, is a four-week transformation process. 4 weeks is what it's designed to do, with homework and exercise. It goes into great detail. So step two is to open. open to what your dharma is or your life's work. And if I had more time right now, I would simply go through an archetype system with you using the same premise that the number that pops out at you is your particular archetype or dharma for this lifetime. So I'll just give you a quick example. There are 12 Jungian archetypes. And I would read off the 12 numbers, and then you would pick the one that pops out at you. For example, if you picked 11 is sage. I'm 11. My life path number is 1122, and that's the expert, the guru, develops knowledge and expertise to highest level. I usually is a communicator, and there's more to that particular definition. So that would be the second step, the O of the word love, to open to who you really are. The third step is V for vibration. And in this particular step, I would talk about third eye manifesting or other ways to manifest. Most of you have heard of a vision board. Maybe you've heard of self-hypnosis. You know, that's how we align our vibration to who we are and what we want. The caveat of vibration alignment I have found in my own life is that it puts me in the mode of wanting to fix things. It's really hard to let go. So now what I'm doing is, for vibration alignment, I just simply do prayer. Say, thank you, God, for, and then I put in the blank, fill in the blank. Thank you, God, for supplying me or providing me my life's work, lucrative self-expression, whatever it is that I need. And I'm constantly practicing letting go. I use the serenity prayer from time to time, or whatever way. I'm vigilant in paying attention to how I'm perceiving life and how I'm behaving. Start to get nervous and start to get worried and start to do this and start to do that. I know I'm getting in the way of my prosperity, so I go back to the serenity idea and prayer, and then I go back to prayer and thanking God, universe, higher self, whatever your higher power is, for providing me, and then I fill in the blank. The fourth step is embracing your God flow. When you do the first three steps well, or even not so well, even when you first start doing them, you're going to start noticing they call that a quickening, where you'll be starting to perceive guidance coming in. You didn't know it probably was there before, but you were too busy and wrapped up in trying to control everything. You didn't even realize it was a higher power trying to give you an idea.
It's subtle.
It's subtle. When you start to look for it, you start to notice the opportunities. You see the synchronicities. So your guidance, your opportunities, and then finally, the product that has your destiny, which has an energy to it, expands and presents. And that's your flow. We all want to live in that flow. We want to shift to flow, because when we do, we've learned how to live as our soul, having a human experience, which is the abundant self. So that's a synopsis of that. And now, if you want to open the phone lines or you want to talk about this, I'm here. Whatever you want to do, Dana.
If you want to ask Laura a question, star 2 will raise your hand, and so we'll start taking some questions. The last 4 is 2116. Hello, you're unmuted. Hello, 2116, you're unmuted.
Yes, hi, this is Kate calling, and I'm in Arizona, and thank you so much for this show. It's been really, really helpful. And I guess I just wanted to see intuitively about abundance blocks. I tend to push money away, you know, like I think from different blocks, I'm sometimes able to manifest it, and then maybe about deserving or something, I push it away. But I didn't know if you get anything intuitively that could be helpful.
Yeah, it's funny, Kate. The first thing I get is that you take money for granted. I know it's going to sound a little weird, but as if perhaps your needs were taken care of, or you never really were, it never was an issue for you growing up. I'm assuming you were raised in an abundant household, or somehow or other money was not an issue growing up. Doesn't mean that you were wealthy, but I get a feeling like you were not challenged in that area. Would you agree with that, please?
My grandparents would help me financially, but my father never paid child support and took money from my mother, and my mother was always stressed about money, and you know, like, they always had the heat really low, and I couldn't have a whole grapefruit, only half a grapefruit, and things like that. So for grandparents, you know, my grandmother would get me food or take me shopping, but my parents, my father never, you know, was never, he was always said, why do you deserve a birthday present or things like that.
Interesting. Well, the most important thing is a feeling of being like you, somehow in your mind, you always felt there'd be money for you. And I guess because you knew grandma and grandpa would be that safety net. So now what you have is a dichotomy between beliefs that were given to you by your parents, your mother in particular, of scarcity is around, and yet there's another part of you which believes that there's a safety net. There's somehow it'll all work out. And what I get from you is that you, even though I don't feel you ever picked up scarcity programming, I feel that you picked up abundance programming. And that's an interesting dichotomy, but the abundance programming is you don't have to work very hard for money. It'll just be there. So the problem then, the caveat is applying yourself to abundant activities. Because whatever that was, that mixed programming there, sort of immobilized you from activating your own actions that you would take to bring in money for yourself. So you've got two messages, right? One's from mother, there's not enough. One from grandparents, you don't have to worry, there'll always be enough. And what I see you as is immobilized and not taking action to support your gifts. So what I would recommend to you is to start to take yourself more seriously and add in a third programming is gifts in motion bring lots of prosperity. But I also feel that you don't know what your gifts are yet. You're trying to figure that out. So that should be your first step, focusing on your gifts and then putting them into action. Does that make sense to you, please, Kate?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. God bless. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
And it was interesting, Laura, when you were doing, when we did the first exercise on our blocks, the number that I came up with was 2 for intuition. And I thought that was funny because I was like, you know, it'd really be great if my third eye was open. And then you did this exercise and intuition is a block. And I keep saying all the time, I wish I could communicate with my guides more easily.
Isn't that interesting? So now you see that your third eye is open because you got the correct number for
right.
who you are. Right? And I'm getting a message for you is no more excuses.
I've been found out.
You know, and everybody listening, spirit is always there. It's just us not paying attention. And one of the things we can do on a regular basis to up that attention is to meditate and then also journal. Ask questions and then journal. So we're putting the spotlight on that, quieting the mind, meditation, and then asking on a regular basis. You know what I like? One of my favorite exercises is the parking lot exercise. When I go into a very crowded parking lot, I always ask my intuition, where are the parking spaces? And when I first started using my gifts, I didn't find them as easily, but nowadays I'm always led to the right place where there's a parking space. So it's a good training thing for you to do.
Yeah, I think it's the training and the consistency, and that's why I like your book. I was reading through your book, and I was like, okay, this book really does explain very well the process that we go to when we're blocking abundance, so therefore then gives you the tools to turn that around.
Yeah, I hope it does. I mean, I think it does. It's gotten pretty good reviews from people that have read it, so... You know, I hope, and I want you all to gain something from it. And I thank you, Dana, for your comments because, you know, I don't know. I'm not objective, you know.
Right.
I'm just the messenger.
Right. There's one part in your book where you talk about the negative spiral story.
Yes. Yes. That we can get into a negative spiral by acknowledging negativity. We make it worse. There's only one way out of a negative downward spiral, and that is to calm down and to start, you know, it's like putting brakes on a runaway train. You put your brakes on. You stop with the Calamity Jane, and you just keep making, you keep making decisions that are lower risk. You make decisions that are sound, and you become more conscious and aware of your actions and what the consequences are. And then you will change that spiral from going downward and out, you know, out of control to being back in, you know, into a normal state. I'm trying to relate that to the spiritual principles. Yeah, it's just what we see we become. So if you're acknowledging that your life is in a downward spiral, well, you're going to be in a downward spiral worse. So if you notice that you're in a downward spiral, rather than amplify that with fear,
right,
pray with love that you, that this be cleared, and then take action. Take reasonable steps to clear it, you know. Instead of, like, for example, let's say you're an alcoholic, you're in a downward spiral, well, the first step is stop the drinking. Go to
exactly.
AA.
Right. And the negative spiral and what I call negative spin, don't find other people that are going to help you spin negativity, because it just feeds on itself. You really do have to break out of that and either get away from negative people or actually find something positive you can focus on, so that you're not sitting there thinking everything is just, you know, going to hell in the handbasket and is out beyond my control.
Yeah, that's very true. And I hate to keep going back to 12-step programs, because I'm not really in any, and I've never really been in any, but they're very useful for living life. So I have, you know, I always seem to go back to that. But one of the things is that you change your friends. If they're negative friends and downward spirals, you change your friends. And everybody listening, if you choose the path of the initiate, the person who decides that they're going to live their purpose in service, using their gifts for more prosperity, but also for the evolution of that, you may find that it could get lonely sometimes as your vibration shifts. The outer world perhaps doesn't match it immediately, because we're living in a physical plane, and as our energy changes faster, the plane has to catch up. The physical plane has to catch up. So don't feel badly if you feel alone sometimes as you're raising your vibration. It's a natural process, and just be you know, be confident that it's just your shift, and as you shift, you will then eventually attract in the people that reflect that newer vibration that you have.
Right. So friends or even family members may fall away because you're trying to increase your vibrational level, and those people are just not a match for you anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just had that recently happen to myself, not with my family or anything, but just in general. There's always stages of this, you know. As I started to... a couple of weeks ago, I started to get very anxious, and I was stuck on manifesting again and trying to make things happen. And as I mentioned, everybody listening, you know, we can quite often go back to the old habits, back to the bad patterns. So that plus, at that time, there were all kinds of, terrorist activities going on in the news, distressing presidential campaign, shall I say, and a few other things going on at the time. And eventually I was starting to get, like, very, very anxious. And I went to bed one evening. I woke up at 3 in the morning, and these words started blasting at me. It was my guides talking to me, and they said, surrender. And then they channeled this peace through me to the wonder of oneness. And then each letter in the word wonder stood for a step. It's an article on my website. If you just go there and to my website and search for the word surrender, it will come up. But then it moved into letting go and letting God a few articles down the road. But letting go, letting God, when you do these things and you start to move to a very peaceful state, you will notice quite often that the people around you are no longer the people that should be around you. And at times you have to release them and move to different activities and different kinds of people. So don't ever feel frightened if that happens to you. It's supposed to happen because your vibration is shifting.
Right. And don't hang on to those people because then you get stuck.
That's right. And do it in love. You know, that's another, I think, Dana, another reason why people are a little troubled by that. I have to give up my family. I have to give up the ones I love. No, you put in what's called loving boundaries. Loving boundaries mean that you state what you need, perhaps, if you need something. When you say this to me, it upsets me. Could we please not talk about that? It's a loving boundary versus, you know, holding it all in and making yourself livid and then, you know, sabotaging yourself because of programming they just gave you that was negative, you know. So loving boundaries will allow you to be around those that don't necessarily reflect your vibration, but are in your life for whatever reason that they're there. That's all part of evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Laura, for taking the time to talk with us today. This, you gave us a lot of good information, and you briefly touched on the information in your program. So for those of you that would like to get more information on this process, it's in that Soul Abundance program that Laura was talking about. You get all of this information, the videos, the PDFs in writing, and her book that you can spend several weeks going through this process and in more depth and more detail to do the clearing work that you need. So thank you very much, Laura, for this.
Thank you. And I also want to say that there's a special discount on a private session with me, which then you can get to talk to somebody about this stuff if you needed to do so.
Which is helpful because for me, I need some clarification and validation that I'm heading in the right direction. Otherwise, I just feel like I'm not clear. And so I like the personal readings to just really hone in on what I believe the issue is or maybe something that I may be unaware of, but to get someone's help in getting it at the core issue and getting it cleared.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dana, for having me, and thank you, everybody, for listening. It's an honor to have been in your energy and your presence and to have shared my humble experiences with you.
Well, thank you, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.